Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right.
Back where we belong. Everybody in their spots. Reggie behind the glass. Social distancing. And also social eating. Look at you, back with your submarine sandwiches. We must be getting back to the to the usual routines, right? When even you now are not afraid to eat in public. That's how we know we've loosened. All right, you ready? In between bites there? Yes? Needles are jumping. Right in the range you're supposed to be in. Mike is hot. Talent is hotter. All the usuals. Let's just get started here. I'll give my three S's and then we're ready to go. Okay. Star, smile, and strong. Okay, here we go. Ready, Reg? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are posted. Wherever it is you go to find your favorite podcast, we are there. Don't forget to subscribe to those platforms. You can rate this podcast. And most of all, most importantly, tell your friends. Send them a link. Send them a message. Send them whatever you need to let them know that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs? Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated, as well as your help in spreading the word. If you like what you hear for the last 4 years, or maybe the last 2 weeks, you want to know whenever it is that you found us, we're glad you have. If you'd like to go back and hear previous episodes, just go to WGNradio.com. You'll see a prompt for podcasts. There's a list there, and you hit the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic prompt, and you will find all 209 previous podcasts, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to 210. 210 and counting. So, we are beginning to loosen up here in terms of the COVID world. I don't know if the numbers warrant that, but clearly people are getting restless, people are getting bored, people are getting frustrated, people are seeing other people do things, and they want to do them too. I hope this leads to satisfactory results. That's about all we could say at this point. Hopefully, but you never know. You never know. We'll just have to wait and see how this whole thing plays out. But we are certainly opening up many sections of our society here after the shutdown over the last several months. So hopefully this virus doesn't overcome us. It's certainly going to spread. And those numbers are still fairly significant. But I guess we're making a decision right now that we're going to open things up. So that's how it is. One thing that I've noticed, I don't know if you've done the same thing during this period of shutdown and sheltering in place, is that you're looking for things to do around the house. You know, you're kind of trying to find some spots, some things to, you know, busy work. If you are able to go to work, that's great. And hopefully many of you are, so that this is not economically hurting you. And if that's the case, well, then that's great. But, you know, for a lot of people either have been given some furlough time or, you know, are out of a job. It's been a difficult period here. And so you suddenly, I don't know about you, but if you look around your neighborhood, you find people not only walking more and trying to get out, but also doing things around the house. I mentioned a few weeks ago how some of my neighbors on each side of me have built gardens and some of them fairly elaborate. And you're just seeing more people, you know, kind of doing little odd jobs or little projects, perhaps more than they would not have the time for. This has been a great time. If you do have the time, and if you have a home or even an apartment, you look around, there's always those projects that you would hope to get to. And sometimes the events of the day and your schedules of the day don't always allow that free time. But now, suddenly, some more free time is on our hands. And as I said many times, if you've listened to me with any kind of regularity, I love making lists. I love not only making the list, but there's nothing better than completing an item on that list. Oh, whew. Sometimes I just pull out a cigarette, and after I'm done with a really good list, and I've marked off all the names, I don't even smoke, and I'll take a long drag just because, you know, feels good. But the earth moves for me when I get to to scratch off some items on a list. Love making lists and love even more scratching off each item when they are completed. And so I've been doing a lot of things around the house. And out in the yard and you know, painting and doing stuff in the yard, pulling weeds and, you know, doing things around the house. I've mentioned in a few podcasts ago, I have had to call the man. I've had to call the guy several times, more than I had hoped or expected for things that, you know, I wasn't able to fix, which is almost everything. We had an electrician out here. We had a plumber out here. We had, what else did I have? Those were the two main ones, but I've had some other small little jobs done around the home. Life does go on, right? And yeah, you know, you have to support your local business. And but yeah, I've also been able, look at me, I've there's actually been some dirt underneath my fingernails. So yeah, I've been keeping busy. And one of the things that is kind of a constant with me is you know, I have been a collector of a lot of different things. My mom was more of a pack rat than a collector. I try to call what I do collecting, as opposed to, I wouldn't say I'm a hoarder by any means. That's not the case. There's not rows of newspapers that you have to navigate through in my home. Just the opposite. But there's no question over my lifetime, I do collect a lot of different kinds of things and have, you know, had them stored as well as displayed. And most of the times I have a lot of things, whether they're, you know, items from my childhood that my mom did save, thank God. As I said, she was a pack rat. And when my parents passed away, I had to go through their stuff. Wow. I mean, that was quite a job. That was quite a project. They were married over almost 45, 46 years. My mom lived in that house for several years before my parents got married on her own. And as I think I may have talked about this before, but just to refresh, our attic was basically off limits because it was really not an attic. to do with any. It became a dumping ground. My mom just threw stuff up there. Now there, my mom may have been a hoarder. At least not a she may have been a borderline hoarder, because certainly in that attic it was a chaotic organized chaos of stuff. And I think I joked, and it's not even a joke, when I did have to clean out that house for the first time, and I was in my 40s, I saw the floor of our attic. I never saw what the floor looked like in our attic. She had dresses from the 1940s in there, and shoes and purses, and she did that thing. She had bags filled with bags because they were good bags. The only thing is that it was relegated to the attic. So, you know, outwardly in our living space, our living space certainly was not, you have no idea of knowing that up in that attic there was this completely different world of garbage. And I don't know if it was garbage. Some of it were, you know, just keepsakes, but it was kind of just thrown. It got out of control, I think. And I was left to clean it up. I went through, I will never forget this. I threw out 400 big garbage bags, 400 big garbage bags of stuff. And I even, and even when I went through what I thought would be things of potential value, I had 37 of those storage bins that I kept, in addition to throwing out 400 bags of just stuff. So it was quite a project. And over the last, I would say, 20 years, I have, certainly after that, but even before that, I recognized the potential that I might be getting to the same spot. Not to the degree my mom did, but just keeping stuff that, do I really need to keep this anymore? And so I went through all her 37 bins and went to, and tried to sell some of the stuff that may have had some value. And over the last 10 or 15 years, I've gone through my own stuff and thrown out stuff that I had kept for whatever reason, and had to make some tough decisions on some things, because being a collector and being kind of a sentimental person, it's hard for me sometimes to throw some of that stuff out. But I did. I really made a concerted effort and got down to the fact, or to the point, where I felt that the stuff that I kept in these bins were things that were really the core of what I might want to keep in terms of old photos of family, photos of with my wife, on vacations and other events, things like that. You know, some childhood things that you can't replace that my mom did keep. Books and other kind of memorabilia that I still wanted to keep that I may have some use for. As I said, obviously, I have my Elton John stuff in many bins, and we have a lot of Christmas decorations. So that stuff is all well organized. I am actually proud of the fact of what I did throw out and get rid of. I got rid of probably of another 40 or 50 bins of stuff. That was about 3 years ago. But so now, of course, as I said, during the COVID, you're kind of looking around and saying, well, how do I keep busy? There's certainly enough around the house and other things to keep me busy, and I've been doing that. But I also think of the future in that, you know, my wife and I don't have any kids. So, I was there. I'm an only child, but I'm there. I was there to take care of the house when they both passed away and it needed to be cleaned out. Okay, that job fell to me. But who is that job going to fall to you know, in hopefully many decades from now. But, you know, we don't have that those kids to do that. And so I believe it's incumbent on me as time goes on to slowly continue to have this process of, and you're hearing this phrase a lot lately now. 10 years ago, I coined the phrase decluttering. I have no question about that. I hear that term all over the place now. But I was way ahead of this this trend, and I guess there's even books now of how to decide to throw things out if they have a meaning. I don't know. There's a book out there. I don't get into all that mumbo jumbo new wavy stuff, but I think the stuff the whatever tenets there were in that book as to how you decide what to keep and what not to, that I just naturally did that. I didn't need a book to tell me that. I decided it. Okay, this is something that has you know, memory to me, or I do believe I may need this. I'm going to keep this for a while. But even that stuff, I mean, when I went through this major wave again, I've gone through about two or three waves of throwing stuff out because I had that much. And even though I would say we're down to a very, it's not bare bones by any means. It's bare bones to comparatively of what I had, but it's certainly not bare bones. But I do believe I would think in another 3 or 4 years, it's going to be another time for another major purging. I even said to myself about two or three years ago, whenever I did that, you know, if I don't touch a lot of these things in the next 5 years, then I'm going to have to do another reassessment. And then another 5 years after that, another reassessment and decide, okay, I you know, these are nice to have or nice to know I have them, but if I'm not using them, I'm not looking at them, I'm not doing anything with them, they're just sitting here, then it's time for them to go. Because if not, then you get what happened with my mom up in the attic. And I found stuff, as I said before, that were literally probably up there in that attic for 50 or 60 years. And she didn't even know it was there anymore. But I don't have that luxury of having a me around to throw it out and to take care of that stuff. So I'm going to have to, you know, do that on my own. And as I've said many times, not only do I enjoy a good list and crossing things off, but there is something cathartic when you get into that decluttering mode and you decide that you want to throw things out. There is something really cathartic and liberating and freeing about just throwing stuff out. Do you feel that? I certainly do. If you can get to that point when you in that mode of, I don't need to keep this, I need to throw this out, then you're almost, you can't stop. Then you almost, you have to stop yourself and say, okay, wait a minute, don't go crazy. There are some things that you might want to keep or that you should keep. Because then it becomes an adrenaline high, just as the same way of when you enjoy collecting it. There's a certain point then if you get on the same level of, oh, I just can't wait to get rid of everything. So I'm not there yet. But as I said, I think it's just it's incumbent that, you know, I start to do this because, as I said, there's not going to be anyone else to do this for us later on. So, as I said, about 3 or 4 years ago, I went through a lot of things and, you know, organized them all and labeled the bins, and they're all sitting there and they're all now relatively, you know, organized. And I even joked, I think I may have talked about it on the podcast many years ago when I did it, that for the first time in our basement, our basement actually echoed. There was an echo in our basement because it wasn't filled with bins and stuff. There was actually open space. And I've enjoyed that very much. And I'm looking around and I could say, yeah, you know, there's even potentially more space. We might get more echoes here. At least that's what I thought. So I've been doing projects around the house and cleaning you know, projects in the yard and outside and all that. But always in the back of my mind, always are these bins. Because while I thought I did a very good decluttering and a very intensive decision-making on things that I probably, if usually when I was decluttering, when I was throwing stuff out, if there was something on the fence, I would keep it, right? I would say, well, I'll keep this. But the last time that I went through this stuff, I was determined to really make a dent. And so I did throw out some things that at the time I remember going, wow, this is a big step. I can't believe I'm throwing these out. But I did. And you know what? I haven't missed them. That's the thing, too. If you're going to throw things out, if you're going to declutter, you'd be surprised. There's so many things that you think that you keep, that you think, well, I've got to keep this. And you'd be surprised. If you really get honest with yourself, you can throw stuff out. And there is most of the stuff that I have thrown out, I don't even remember throwing it out. I haven't gone for something and not found something, which means that the stuff that I threw out, I was really not keeping for any real reason. Because when I've thought about something, I need that thing I have, I knew where to get it and it was still there, meaning I kept the right stuff, at least at this point still, at this level in the process. There's still things I may need, but I haven't said, oh, you know, why did I throw that out? Oh, I should have kept that. No, I haven't been at that point. So I'm fairly confident and fairly pleased with, so far, my ability to decide what really I do need at this point in my life, what I would still want to keep, and what has used up its meaning. And my phrase was, if it's lost its luster, it doesn't pass muster. Meaning, if I'm looking at something and it's not immediately hitting me, then it goes in the garbage. And if that and it's very subjective, and for everybody it's different. All I can tell you is you got to have there's got to be something, you know, just innate in you that says, oh, I can't throw this out. Or logical to say, oh, no, I may need this. And that's the stuff you keep. So, yeah, for right now, for whatever reason, for instance, I still have my Hot Wheels cars. I will never play with my Hot Wheels cars, but I'm not ready to throw my Hot Wheels cars out. So it's that type of stuff. I can't tell you why. Maybe in 3 or 4 years, I might be ready. I don't know. But right, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, I still wasn't ready. So we'll see. But I thought, given that there's more time now with this COVID shutdown, that rather than wait the 3 or 4 years that I expected to wait to go through another cycle of decluttering, that maybe it was, I had the time, so maybe, you know, what's the difference, right? You know, if it's going to sit for 4 more years, I'm not going to really touch it, then what's the difference whether I throw it out now or I let it sit and then throw it out in 4 years? So I started with photos because we have a lot of photos. I've got a lot of my parents' photos. I certainly wanted to keep those. I knew I had them. I didn't really go through them. I just knew that, okay, this was a couple of bins of I just, you know, when I went through an initial one, here's all my parents' old photos from when, you know, they were kids and, you know, their early days of their marriage and then throughout our lives together and their lives together. You know, I had all those. And then I had all of my pictures. Then I had all of the pictures with me and my wife during our lives together. And so they took up several bins. They weren't really organized. They were just kind of thrown in those general categories of, you know, family photos, you know, extended family, mom and dad, And then, you know, me, my own stuff of when I was growing up. And then, you know, stuff that was with my wife and me. So that was kind of the general categories of bins filled to the hilt with photos. Now, the funny thing is that in today's world, I don't know how people are going to do it. I mean, most of our people's photos today just live on a phone or somewhere digitally. But my parents, you know, were from another generation. So it's funny, too. You know, we take pictures for granted now. Today, everybody's taking pictures of everything. It's hard to even tell somebody in their 20s or even their 30s that there was a time when you didn't have a camera with you all the time. I mean, I've got quite a few pictures, but I know that there was a lot of photos and events that I certainly would have wished I had photos of that we just didn't have a camera. Most people didn't even have a real good camera. Most of the cameras people had were, you know, cheap Kodak Brownie cameras or, you know, Instamatics, and, you know, they weren't all that good. They didn't take great pictures. And I took my share of pictures, but we didn't have a camera with us 24 hours a day like we do now. We did not document, the average person did not document every moment of their lives like we do today. So thankfully, my mom and dad did take a lot of photos, but there were also photos of things that we didn't get, at the time. But they certainly had my mom and dad certainly had a good amount of photo. Back in my mom's time, what you did was, you know, you obviously got your photos printed. Everybody did. Now hardly anybody prints photos. Everybody's just scrolling on them on their computers or on their phones. But, you know, you had to get them, you know, printed up. And most people put them in photo albums. And so my mom, thankfully, as I said, she may have been a hoarder, but she was also an organized hoarder to some extent. So especially in the early parts of their marriage, their courtship, and then my growing up period up until, you know, well into, you know, until I was 15, 16, 17, 18. Being an only child, my mom did take a lot of pictures of me of different times in my life, thankfully. So I do have those. We went on some very cool vacations. So I did have many photo albums. Now, some of the pictures, you know, were debatable. A lot of the pictures, I didn't even know half the people in them, right? They were their friends. And I had all of my mom's wedding photos. She had a photo album, but then she also had like two boxes of just all the other photos that were not put in the album that were taken during that wedding. So a lot of different photos, even some photos of my grandparents. I didn't know. I only knew one of my grandparents, my mom's mother. All my other grandparents died before I was born. And so thankfully there's a lot of pictures of them. I know them through photos. So there's a fairly good representation, though. Even some great grand. There's even one really old of my mom's great of my great grandparents, my mom's grandparents on one side. So there are some of those old pictures. If you ever see the movie Moonstruck, the great film with Cher and Danny Aiello and Nicolas Cage, Oscar-winning film about an Italian family. I think it begins and ends with this great sepia-toned photo of like the great grandparents or the grandparents of the family, because that movie was really about family. And that was, I have a photo very similar to that of my great grandparents. So that's pretty cool. It's all sepia toned and it's very fragile. It's cool to have that. There's no question. I don't know who these people are. I don't even know their names. Don't know anything about them, but I do know, you know, their names are on the back. I don't even remember my mom even talking about them. But I know that my mom kept this photo of her grandparents. So I'm keeping it as well. One day it'll be gone. So that was the thing. I decided, let me go through these pictures and maybe pare down some of these, because, you know, there's a lot of pictures that, you know, you don't really need. You know, they're just, you know, half the time, especially in my case, they're old photos of some people I might not even know. So why do I need to have all these? At the very least, let me just pare down some of these pictures of, you know, of even if they're of my mom and dad, or you know, with people I don't even know anymore, whether they were old friends of theirs or old even family members I never met. I don't need them because I don't even know who they are. So let me try to at least take a pass through that, and at least maybe try to, I'm not going to throw away these pictures, you know, en masse, but maybe I could at least lighten the load by getting rid of some of the disposable pictures, the superficial pictures of, you know, that don't have any meaning to me. And so I started to do that, and I started with my parents and some of their early photos. And while there were some great photos of them, I kept those. But if there was a lot of pictures of them with their friends or something, I don't know who these people are anymore. They're all dead. And so I'm like, okay, these are pictures I could throw out. But I, for instance, I would keep one picture maybe from a certain, if it was a vacation that they went on or something, you know, I would at least keep a representative picture of that event. But if there were 15 pictures of them and their friends sitting by the pool, I mean, I'd, you know, I'll maybe keep one, but I don't need the other 50, right? So that was a kind of, you know, selection process that I was using. And I was able to throw out a fairly good number of those kind of pictures. So then, and it was maybe a, you know, I don't know if there was a full garbage bag full of those, but it was relatively, you know, a good amount. There was some that, you know, obviously there was more there than I didn't need, right? So at least I got rid of something. But then as I was going through this second pass, to say, okay, let me be a little more discerning now and take now of the pictures that I kept, now which ones do I really need to keep? And a funny thing happened, and I didn't expect it to happen, but it did, and we'll see how I feel about this in another 5 years, but it certainly hit me right now. As I said, the whole idea of this process, ultimately, is to be able to downsize these bins of stuff, if you will, like George Carlin always said. You know, we're just basically at the end of the day, we all have our stuff, and then we get rid of our stuff and we get more stuff, and then our stuff and other people take our stuff. We're just basically moving all of our stuff around. It's not going anywhere for good. It's just getting moved around. So I got stuff, right? We all have stuff. But I think the goal for me is to have as not as much stuff left behind, because as I said, I'm not going to have anyone to do the final, you know, project that I did when my parents passed away. So I think it's incumbent on me to do that, so that whatever happens and whomever would be in charge of that, it's not going to be a huge burden, because that was a huge deal. You know, to do all that, it took a lot of time and a lot of effort. And I did it out of my obligation and my love for my parents. But as I said, I won't have kids to do that. So there's going to be a burden on somebody, perhaps, potentially, to do that final, whatever it takes when you're gone. And so I think I should try to do as much as I can on my own. But I don't know if that's possible. And that's my point. So I started going through some of these photos, now the second run through. And I'm seeing pictures of, you know, my parents, and they're, like I said, on vacation, and my parents' wedding, and, you know, before I was born. My parents waited like 5 years before they had me. So they certainly, you know, did a lot of different things, went on many vacations and you know, went out with their friends. And there were pictures of all of that there. And even in this second run through, I did keep some of those because now there were some of the people that I did recognize in many of these pictures and that I grew up then knowing of their friends. And I'm like, okay, well, oh, wow, look at how that person looked when they were younger and things like that. And then I got to, you know, my birth and then some of my birthday parties and some early vacations that I vaguely remember of going on with my grandmother and my parents. I was like two or three. I actually do have some memory of these couple trips to Florida, that these photos really did trigger some memories. Very vague. My grandmother passed away when I was only four, so I mean, I don't really have a lot of crystal clear memories, but I do have some memories of her and spending time with her. And then some of these pictures helped bring those back. And so I'm looking through these pictures now of my parents when they were younger, of my parents when they first got married. And then I come along and there's some pictures of the family and a lot of these people like at family parties and things like that. They've passed away now. And, you know, or I was with my pictures of with my young friends when I was a little kid. And I haven't seen these people, you know, since we were 10. But I still have memories of playing with them and parties and, you know, different events and stuff like that. And so I'm looking at all these photos. And I started to make a pile. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I don't need this one, you know. But as I continued this process to go through these older photos and these memories, and that's what they are. They really are memories. They're either memories that we have or these photos are memories that we didn't experience ourselves, but other people did. And they're memories for us. At the time, they weren't that. They were memories for the people in those pictures. But what's interesting, as time goes on, those memories get passed on to other people. Not the memory of what happened in that photo, but now that photo itself becomes a time capsule, a memory, a representation. And as much as when you go through this decluttering process, as many of you maybe are going through now, going through old stuff, or maybe you are thinking about it, so I can lend you some advice. What's so funny, when you first go through this, especially if you have a lot of stuff, you can't be, you're not overly discerning because you're like, oh, I don't need this, I don't need this. And you kind of throw some of those initial things that are really easy to make a decision on that they're not worth saving or they're not that important. Those are the great times of the decluttering process, the early, when you first get started. There's a lot of superficial stuff that you could just say, okay, I don't need this, I don't need this. It's after you do two or three passes in a decluttering process, at least I have, if you have a lot of stuff, if you need to. It's when you start to get to the second or third level of this. Now you're getting to the real core, to the essence of what you have and what it means to you and the memories that all this stuff holds for you and the keepsakes that you want to have for years to come. One of the things that, you know, when my mom toward the end of her life, she was living with us, and she started to, you know, she got dementia and things. And but one thing that that I did do, thankfully, I had many of these pictures. And every so often I would pull out the photo albums and I would just let her look at them. And I know that she would look at them and you know, we would sometimes talk about it, but some other times she would just, I noticed she would go back and just be looking through the photos. And it was amazing the way, you know, this dementia is such a crazy disease. And if you know anything about it, it's like, it's so counterintuitive because the people with dementia have a very clear memory of the past. It's the future where they have problems with, because the receptors of information are weak or are gone. And so they're not making new memories, but their brain still has all those file cabinets in it of all those old memories. And when they think back, they can still access sometimes those old memories like it was yesterday. It's a strange dynamic, but it really does happen that way. And so I could see that my mom enjoyed looking at these old photos. And so I for myself, I'm like, you know, I don't want to get too hasty. There's some of these photos that I probably will not need. But I don't want to be too hasty, because I would hate to say, oh, geez, I wish I had that photo of blank. So as I said, I'm even in the photo point now. I'm still at that point yet. I'm not ready to do a major, you know, throwing out. I'm in the, if it's on the line, I'll make the mistake to keep it as opposed to make the mistake of throwing it away. And so I started to go through another round now after I made that first pass and threw away some of these photos of my mom at different events with people I had no idea who they were, you know, and things like that. My parents at different things. And then, so now I'm kind of down to a smaller group, still a lot of photos, but certainly a little more focus now. Now this group of photos that I have do have people that I know or do represent important moments in our lives together. And so now the question is, which of those can you throw away or should you throw away? And this is what struck me. And I didn't expect it to hit me, but it did. And I didn't expect this kind of revelation to hit me. And maybe it's just momentary. Maybe it's temporary, and maybe 3 or 4 years down the line, I'll feel differently. But right now, as I attempted to now take this next pass through these photos to see if I could maybe whittle them down even more and just get down to some of the core photos that I really want to keep and should keep, I found that pile of the ones I was going to throw out of this new group were much more difficult. And every time I said, oh, I think I could throw this one out, I would take a close look at it, and it would represent either my mom and dad at a certain point in their lives, or an event, or with their friends, or it was a cool, funny picture with other family members in it, or once again, it was with me, with them, either in a young age, and I remember that, and I'm like, you know what? I know from a logical standpoint that I have to get rid of a majority of this stuff someday, because there won't be anybody else around to go through it like I did with my parents' things. And look at how many years this has taken, and I'm still doing it. My parents passed away 15 years ago. Well, my dad passed away 15. It'll be 15 years next month in July. And my mom will be 14 years ago in September. So they've been gone for quite a while. And yet 15 years later, from when my dad first passed away, when the first of them passed, I still am going through different waves of getting rid of their things. And that's 15 years. Once again, in my case, there's not going to be that. In my case or my wife's case, we're not going to have that person like me. We're not going to have our kids that are going to be doing that. And so we might as well do it ourselves. That makes sense, right? That sounds logical, right? It sounds very mature and, looking ahead. But what it isn't, what that in theory sounds really great about, but what's difficult about it is when the emotions take hold. And so I'm looking at some of these pictures, and I'm looking at my mom and dad, when they were younger, and I'm looking at my mom and dad when they were first married, and I'm looking at my mom and dad and me together at different events and vacations and birthday parties and holidays and Halloween costumes and baseball games and the various sports that I played, that they always came to the games. And, I'm just looking at all this stuff. And I found that suddenly it had always been easy to create that pile of throwaway. But suddenly now I had gotten down to a pretty good core of photos. And it was difficult to start to throw those away, because they started to mean something. They started to bring back memories, either of events that I do remember, events that I was at that I don't really have clear memories of, but I was obviously there. Or, as I said before, time capsules of my mom and dad that are now just memories of them at a time in their lives. Not a memory shared with me at all, but just a representation of them, who they were at a certain point in their lives, where they were at a certain point in their lives. And at least right now, it really struck me emotionally. And there were sometimes, throughout this process, I was really tearing up. I did not expect this to be an emotional experience at all. It was meant to be. I should really throw some of this stuff away. I should really organize some of this stuff. It was a very non-emotional, just very kind of, utility. It was a project. It's just something that needed to be done. It was a item on my list that I was looking forward to putting a line through as finished, done, organized photos. Those photos are down to their core. That was my goal, really, to get down those photos, maybe get rid of two bins out of the four or five that I had, two bins worth, and really just have really just core photos. And while that exists to some extent, I couldn't get down to that core photo. Not yet, at least. Maybe I will in 2 or 3 or 4 years or 5 years. But it seemed like right now I was not ready to let go of some of those memories. And I was shocked, because I've usually been a fairly good declutterer. But now it's starting to get a little close to home, to the point where I even said, in a bigger sense, you know what? Maybe there just are some memories that I can't throw out like this. And maybe there are some memories that I really shouldn't throw out. Somebody's going to wind up doing something with all of my possessions. And they'll look through the and it's going to be probably not someone related to me. Maybe it will be, maybe it won't be, but they won't have the same connection, the same memories, the same knowledge of what goes behind these pictures. They may just see, you know, 50 bins filled with a lot of junk, and they'll just say, "Get rid of them." And I won't blame them, right? If I found a box at a garage sale filled with a bunch of old pictures of somebody, for instance, and their family, they might look interesting. Oh, wow, look at this from 19 whatever. But it would be easy to throw those pictures away, right? I don't have any true emotional connection to those people or those pictures. And so for the first time, it really struck me that, you know what? I'm going to continue to go through these waves and downsize and declutter. But there is a point where I just don't think that I can declutter anymore. It's going to be too difficult to do that. And I may regret throwing away some things that I may want to see 20 years from now to bring back some of those memories. Like when my mom was in her 80s and was looking at photos of herself and different events that she said and took enjoyment of. And so for the first time, it hit me where I said, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be the one to throw these memories away. Maybe it's a job for someone else somewhere down the line to throw away these memories, because they won't be memories to them. They won't carry that emotional connection to them. And so they won't have any problems just saying to somebody, yeah, take those 50. Maybe they'll look through the bins and say, yeah, take those 50 and just put them on the truck and get rid of them. Because that ultimately is what has to happen. I'm certainly not looking through rose-colored glasses to know that, you know, that stuff is going to be kept by somebody in some you know, hallowed way. At the end of the day, I had to get rid of my parents' stuff, and someone's going to have to get rid of my stuff. And I got rid of some stuff that probably my mom and dad would have said, you know, if I would have asked them, should I get rid of this? Oh, how could you get rid of that? Oh, you can't get rid of that. Well, once again, I did. I threw away 400 bags of stuff. My mom at one point thought that that this stuff was worth keeping. But when I saw it, it was, hey, there's a bunch of old shoes here. There's a bunch of old dresses here. Boom. In a bag and gone. And so that's how someone's going to be with my stuff. And maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. Maybe we can do a good job, even a great job, of decluttering and whittling down of our stuff. But ultimately, our stuff are our memories. And I've just, at least now, come to a point where I just don't know if I'm ready to throw away my memories. And maybe it is best that it's someone else's job. It won't take them as much time as it took me to look through this stuff. They'll just say, oh, there's a bunch of crap in that house. Get rid of it. And that might be the best way to do it, is to let an uninterested third party just do the job. They could probably get it done in 10 minutes, as opposed to the 40 years it's been taking me to whittle through this stuff. And maybe that's the way to do it. But I know one thing. I'm very happy for the memories I have. I cherish the memories of people and events and accomplishments and experiences. And I said many years ago, I've actually stopped collecting a lot of stuff. And I even said about 10 years ago when I started to do a lot of this decluttering is that I want to get rid of the material stuff and I want to collect experiences. I want to collect memories of doing things, not so much having things. But I want to collect memories. I want to collect experiences, which I feel I've been doing over the last 10 years. And hopefully when this COVID thing ends, we can get back to that. But I also did realize that there are some memories, some tangible, touchable memories, photos, items, whatever it is, memorabilia, that do mean something to me, that I don't believe, as callous as I might be sometime, I don't believe I could really ever throw those away. And maybe it will just take someone who doesn't have those same memories, those same connections to these things, those the same knowledge of it, these things don't mean anything to them. Maybe it just is that person's job to just tell the movers, take those and take them away in the truck and dump them away. Maybe that's just the way it is. But I've gotten to a point where I'm just not ready to throw away my memories. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com. Just go to the podcast section and you will find Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget to download, to rate, to subscribe to, and to tell your friends that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. I hope you enjoyed episode 210. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen. Memories like the corners of our minds.